Welcome to the Sochigo podcast. Everyone, whether a mum, dad, bride, or groom, you deserve to throw an event you can sit back and be proud of. Therefore, we will be providing you tips and what's trending straight from the horse's mouth. Our reputable Australian Sochigo suppliers, here to help you execute the party or wedding you've been dreaming of. If you're a goal crusher in the events industry, looking for business tips and tricks from other industry leaders, you are in the right place. Sochigo for Business is the podcast for you. On Sochigo for Business, we are all about authentic, honest conversation, business talk, gauging advice from other businesses on their climb to the top, process hacks to save you time, and of course, a place for you to be yourself to think freely. I am your host, Laura Karafalakis, co-founder and creative director at Sochigo, here to help you bring magic and certainty into your events, as well as allowing businesses in the events industry to step into the business they deserve with support, confidence, and purpose. Together, we can make a positive impact in the Australian events industry. Are you ready? It's time. Let's do this. Welcome back to the Sochigo podcast. I'm your host, Laura Karafalakis, and I have a very special guest here with me today. Gold crusher, genuine, gorgeous woman, and I'm honored to call her my friend, Fifi from Lux Couture Events. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. So excited to be here. We've been trying to do this for so long.
Months.
And we finally scheduled it in. And I think in this business, you have to actually schedule things in or else they don't get done.
100%. Well, we were sitting here there and we just said, okay, just book it in. Let's do it.
Let's
and
do
then
it.
2 days later, we're here. So
yep.
For those that don't know what you do, what's Lux Couture Events?
Lux Couture Events. Lux Couture Events is my baby. It's my fourth child. Mm-hmm. We do events, styling, and prop hire. I do more probably styling than prop hire, but that's starting to shift now. So, yeah, we're excited to be here and excited to talk about what we do and what we love.
Amazing. So I'm just going to dive right in with my questions. And you know what? We're gonna get uncomfortable today because I love uncomfortable questions, because I think if there's one person thinking it and they want to ask it, then there's others out there. And I'd like to be uncomfortable personally.
I'm quite comfortable living uncomfortably.
So my first question, how have you found it in business as a woman, and especially as a beautiful Muslim female who, you know, you proudly wear a hijab? How's your experience been so far?
Oh, that's a lot of questions in one question. But if I had to break it down, I think the first part of that question I'll answer first. So being a woman, being a mum, this has been one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, because the sacrifices of, you know, that you have to put aside your life, your livelihood, your social life or lack thereof, it all has to take a back seat, and it does take a back seat to your business because you're the one paying the bills for that business to keep it afloat. And if you don't prioritize your business, and if for once you take time off, your business suffers.
Yeah.
So that's been the real struggle, trying to have balance between work life, family life. Something as simple as Sunday brunch with the family does not exist unless for some reason we don't have a job on that day where we have to be there. And it's really hard for the kids and for the families of people in businesses who are trying to develop these businesses, because I don't think starting off that you realize that these sacrifices are things that you have to do.
100%.
It's and then moving from that, being good with money. Like I was never good with money.
Yeah.
I dare I say I'm probably still not good with money. I think it's been a big learning for me, trying to manage, you know, staff, wages, rent, all the things that people don't tell you are happening behind the scenes.
Because you have a warehouse.
We do. Yeah. We have a warehouse based in Craigieburn. And, you know, I think on Instagram and on Facebook and all the social media outlets that you see us on, we don't ever put forward our struggles. Yes. Occasionally we might say, hey, guys, we're kind of drowning in emails. Be patient with us. But you don't see that we're at the warehouse till 8 o'clock responding to client emails. And then if you don't reply, you're getting question mark, question mark, question mark. It's like, oh, please be patient. Like yeah. people forget, I think, that we have families. And to, even if you have staff to manage part of that, I feel like there's a connectedness that you still need to have with your business because it is your baby, like I said. And, yes. you know, going back to that, this is, you know, it's our brand, it's our reputation. So it's really, really important for us to kind of make sure we produce the best of ourselves. Like I won't have it any other way. That's as simple as that.
Is there anything you wish you'd known at the start of your business that would have helped you now, do you think?
Oh God, so many things, so many things. I think I didn't really grasp how much time the business would take to grow. And in saying that, our business has grown quite rapidly.
Yes.
But just being able to see like a profit, to generate a profit where you're at the point where you're working for 2-3 years before you actually even are generating any profit, and then you're at a size where you have to go, okay, well, I don't have enough space here. I need to think about expanding, and then expanding costs money. I think starting out, be prepared to be uncomfortable if you don't have a nest egg to develop the business. Like if you don't have some money tucked away to start a business, my recommendation is don't give up on that dream. I'm not saying don't start.
Yep.
Because if you want something bad enough, you need to follow it. Put money aside, get a loan from a bank, make it happen, borrow some money from family. But just be prepared that it's going to take a financial toll on you. And you need to be prepared to be uncomfortable with that, to say, you know what, this week I can't afford this, that, and the other because my business has sacrificed.
Huge sacrifices.
You know, groceries are going to have to be minimal this week because, and, you know, some weeks we've been doing this almost 5 years, some weeks that still happens.
Yeah. We do we call it pantry week. So we don't go shopping for the week. We'll get like fruit and veg and stuff, like the fresh stuff. But then I'll literally go through the pantry of stuff that gets shoved to the back that you can use. I just get lazy and you always buy new stuff because that's what you think you should do.
Rummage through the freezer.
Yeah, and we just get freezer stuff and, you know, it saves you like $300-$400
a week. Yeah, especially with a family. Like, I think the budget is really important for business, like because you got to remember what you're generating from the business has to actually pay a wage to you. And for the most part, businesses aren't paying themselves a wage. And, you know, don't take this advice from me, but I'm still not paying myself a wage 5 years on. And it's something we've discussed, you know, and it's something that I think early on, if you can start doing that, because you need to prioritize you as you are the crown jewel of your business. And if don't prioritize you, make yourself important, then your business will suffer, your family will suffer, your life will suffer. And I mean, that sounds really bleak, but I'm just talking about being organized and planning. And I think that's really, really important for a planner. You know, prioritizing yourself as important in your business is really important. I wish I knew where to begin. I wish I knew more about business. I wish I had studied some sort of something to do with how to manage, bookkeep, all that stuff, because for me, that's the side that I'm suffering at the most. And trusting myself has been a big thing, like because, you know, it's all good to be good at what you do, but trusting that is going to generate into income, or trusting that that's going to generate into something else and it's going to grow. That's been really hard. So, and I wish I knew who were people that I could trust in the business early on, because that's something that I experienced, you know, trying to naturally I'm open and friendly and I kind of confide in people and I relate with people really, really well. And I think that has been a help and a hindrance for me in business. So I wish I knew who to trust.
Yeah. And unfortunately in business, you lose friends, you make friends, and then you lose more.
100%. You know, 100%.
Family don't believe in you. There's, you know, so many instances where,
I've experienced
that. You don't get that support.
I've experienced that. You know, for a very long time, my partner, who is my biggest supporter, but also my biggest, you know, person in the corner going, you need to give this up because, you know, this is really hard for you. Mm-hmm. And he sees what I go through and he sees the sacrifices I make. And he's forever telling me, you need to put yourself first, give this up. Mm-hmm. And my dad, oh my God, I remember the first prop we purchased was barrels, two barrels.
Yeah.
And my dad said to me, what is this rubbish?
Yeah.
He said, people actually hire this? And I said, well, yeah, Dad, they do. And he said, I can't believe people waste money on rubbish. And Rustic was really in.
Mm.
Rustic was really in.
What year did you start?
It's going on 4.5 years now. Yeah. So because my son is almost 5. So we started when he was born.
Right.
So Rustic was really, really big thing back then. And barrels are still out there. But we just, you know, it was one of the things we first invested in. And I got a lot of slack about, what is this? Like, people are going to hire out wooden slices?
Yeah.
Are you serious? But even, you know, the sacrifice being an Arab Muslim woman, so those are three big things.
Mm-hmm.
Like being Arab Muslim woman, giving up your day job. I worked for local council, so giving up my day job, which was a well-paid job,
mm-hmm.
to pursue a creative outlet, to pursue something that was not your typical stereotypical role, which was either office or a teacher or, you know, a nurse or
a respectable job.
Yeah, for something where I'm climbing on ladders to do installs, or I'm lifting like one of the boys. Yeah. Like, that was, I was going against all traditions by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, so I think that's been really, really interesting, having a lot of pushback.
Yes.
So family have been great in the sense that now they see what, you know, what we've become and how much
were
we've
they,
grown.
Were they like that in the beginning though, before they saw, obviously?
Not really. And I think they still sometimes say to me, look, we miss you.
Yeah.
You know, we miss the old you pre-Lux Couture events.
Lose your weekends.
Because I've lost myself in a way. Like I found myself in Lux Couture events, but I've lost myself because I'm forever invested in my business, that I'm on my phone when I'm there. So it's really hard, the sacrifices that you make as a business owner, and specifically if you're committed. And I think there's a lot of people who are business owners but not as committed. And I'm not saying either way is right.
Yes.
I'm just saying this is just the way that it's gone for me. I'm all or nothing.
Yeah. And what do you do for your clients that sets you apart and you go above and beyond for your clients? We've spoken about this before.
Yeah, so I think there's a point of difference in the kind of company. I think as a stylist, I have the advantage of having an array of props that are at my disposal. So if I'm doing a styling job for a client, I consider my client very lucky. And I'm not saying that, you know, with a big head or being pompous about it, but I consider them lucky because they have this array of props at their disposal. And a lot of the times they don't get charged for all these extras that I might bring along to a job because in case, because I like to be prepared and I like to make sure that they have the best and that it's going to work mathematically. And that sounds really strange, but you know, from a styling point of view, I'll just give you an example. Say you've got a 2-meter backdrop and then you've got a cake and you've got a plinth that needs to go in front of it, and then you've got a cake stand. So before I go out to the job, even before I'm even there, I'm calculating the heights. How tall is this cake? So I've contacted my cake maker already, checked how tall is my cake? Is it going to block my signage? Are my balloons going to get in the way? Do they need to be perhaps put on a certain side so that it's all going to be cohesive. So I know it sounds like a head doer, like, but in my head, this all needs to be pre-planned, pre-thought of before we even leave the warehouse.
Wow.
So as an advantage, I feel like my clients have that as a luxury advantage at their disposal. But whether they're a styling client or whether they're a prop hire client, I feel like we handle it the same way. Like if a client is hiring props from us, we will contact them in advance and say, hey, I'm just having a look at your order and I feel like I need a better understanding of what you're planning here, because in my mind, this might not make sense. What is your actual, you know, what are you thinking? And we'll run through the concept with them. And at that point, they might say, oh, actually, on second thoughts, maybe I need to change the size of this plinth, or maybe I need to go clear so my balloons can show behind it. Mm. And we will make alterations for them accordingly. But the advantage is that they have me and they have our staff who ask the question. Mm. So, and I think that's a real turning point for businesses. Ask the question.
Yeah,
like, be genuinely, be genuinely interested, because for me, I want not just my high paying clients to get that quality service. I want every client to get that. I want to make sure it's all cohesive for every client. And I know that's exhausting for me. I know it's extra work for me, but I feel like if someone's come to me, they've given that value to our business.
They've trusted you.
They've trusted us. Yeah. I feel like I need to give back. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not fair if I don't treat them equally. And, you know, I'm not saying every client gets that, because sometimes we're low on time. I'm going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Some clients, I get to the event and I go, oh, damn, I should have asked these questions. And so to I guess counter that, now we have like a questionnaire.
So you've put a policy.
We've put a policy in place, because I don't want to get to an event and realize that I've missed a detail for a client, regardless of what kind of client, regardless of if they hired $100 worth or whether they got $3,000 worth. I do need to make sure that, you know, sometimes minimalistic events turn out to be the greatest. They're winners.
I agree.
You know, and it's important, I think, for every client to receive that one-on-one little bit of a connection. And, you know, for us, me being the point of contact for that is really important, because I need to make sure that I ask those questions. Even my staff, they have to ask those questions and go, what is the bigger picture here? What do you aim to achieve from this? So I think that's been really, really educational for us.
Yeah.
And we value that. We think it's very important.
I love that. I love the fact that you saw, an issue. I guess it's really more of a way to help your business go forward, and you've implemented a procedure rather than sitting back and go, it was the client's fault. They didn't ask for it, out of my capabilities. So that's
not my problem.
Not my problem. Yeah, which a lot of people do. Not my problem. My next question. We talk about this a lot with suppliers, because we get to speak to a lot, luckily. What's your view on price matching and undercutting in the industry?
Wow.
Boom.
Boom. Yeah, boom.
Just dropped the bomb.
You did. Early on in our business journey, we did not realize how much of a problem this was or how prevalent it was.
Yeah.
I think I lived with rose-colored glasses initially for the first couple of years, and I think it really, really used to bother me every time I used to, I'm going to use the word, lose a job to another supplier, because I was thinking to myself, okay, so why, how did this happen? What has happened? And I just thought, oh, maybe they found someone better, or maybe they had something that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like trying to fill that void with just consuming. So we just buy more stuff and go, okay, let's just buy more props, because then people have no choice. They'll come to us.
Yeah.
You know, or let's just improve our service, because then, you know, people will just keep coming to us.
Yeah.
But then I realized that it's not just a pretty world out there, and there are companies and businesses that do it. And we, unfortunately, have had to change our policy towards doing that, because I wouldn't say we undercut. I would say we have implemented now price matching.
Right.
Now, I'll explain to you how we do that. So it sounds really bad, but sometimes clients lie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, if I go into a store, I'm going into Sports Girl, I've seen a tea that I like. I'm not going to go into Portman's and say, hey, but I saw that same tea at Sports Girl for $20 less. Can you give it to me? No, not going to do that. Unfortunately, in the world that we live in this industry that we are in, clients do that. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. It is their right. It is their right to ask around. It is their right to shop around and try and get a better deal.
You're always going to do that, and that's in any industry.
If and that's fine.
For a TV, if you're looking for a holiday,
and that's fine. And we do that when we go buy our electrical goods. We're going to go to somewhere or somewhere else, and then get them to price match it for us. And we know which ones are going to give us the price every time. Yep. We know that, mm-hmm. right? But in this industry, I feel like we get a little bit narky. Like we get a bit annoyed. If someone undercuts us, because we take it personally.
Yes.
And why we take it personally is because this is our own business. It's not big business. So we're still small businesses. You know, 111,000 followers, but I still consider myself a small business because I'm still on, you know, like we are minimal staff. I still am on minimal wage. Like I'm not at that $50,000, $60,000 mark where I'm, do you know what I mean? Like 100%. I'm just... I, the way I look at it is if I lose an event to another company, I want to understand why. I do want to understand because from a business perspective, I need to know what are my shortcomings, yes. how can I improve them. But initially that was my one only focus. But now I'm looking at it as, okay, people do this. If you approach me and you want a price on something and you say to me you've got a better deal or you've been offered something better, then I need to see that written quote.
Right.
I need to see what exactly are you getting, because the moment I look at that, I know whether I'm willing to compromise my worth. Mm-hmm. And this is the key. Compromising your worth as a business owner, is it worth you compromising your worth for this one gig? Look, I just, how I look at it is often you're not getting like for like.
Right.
So when you go to the supermarket, you buy an orange is an orange. You buy an apple, you're getting an apple, okay? So if someone's hiring a pink velvet wall from myself, there's 4 to 5 other suppliers in Melbourne that have a pink velvet wall. Mm-hmm. Where is my point of difference?
Right.
What are you getting when you come to me, that's different. And I think every business should look at this. I'm not saying this to pump myself up and say that we're so great and we offer a unique service, which we do, but there are other businesses out there that are great and offer great services too.
As well.
But what is your point of difference? So we like to think that our point of difference is that we have the styling eye and we know what works with what. Mm-hmm. And we will offer you that extra mile by giving you options, bringing a couple of extra things just in case. You know, I've often gone to a job and a client says to me, oh, you've got extra risers and cake stands. I didn't order that. Are you going to charge me for that? And they freak out. They freak out. And I say to them, no, it's cool. I thought these are things that you might need, no charge.
I love that.
And you know what? People really, really appreciate that. Mm. And I think that it's so important. And, you know, this is something that I've clashed with my partner about. He's like, we got no room in the van. I said, I'll put them in my car. I don't care.
Wow.
This is something that the client will need because I know, because I've discussed it with the client and I've spoken to them. I've figured out what their needs are. I can already imagine in my head how it's going to look. And I feel like a lot of people don't have that. It's just purely business.
Yeah. It's about, like, it's about the invoice.
This prop looks good with this item and that's it. There's no discussion of, you know, it's like pink. There are so many shades of pink, right?
We've had this discussion.
So many shades of pink. Yeah. What's the likelihood that your cake is going to match your backdrop with your flowers and your balloons if you haven't had the discussion with the part with all the vendors? And in our line of business, there's no room for mucking around. You can't risk that. I mean, if it's not that important to you, then all great. Maybe I'm too invested, but I think that's my selling point. I think that's the thing that makes us different. And I think that people will undercut and people will price match. But for us, it's important to remember that unless they're getting a like for like, regardless of whether we're bringing them extra stuff or not, we don't need to do that. That's a side thing, completely irrelevant. But are you getting like for like? Are you getting the exact same thing? Is it the same? Is the quality of your flowers that you're receiving the same? Are you getting fresh or are you getting fake?
100%. Yeah. You've got to just, it's all about quality. And if you're happy with that quality, like I've gotten fake flowers for my daughter's christening from the $2 shop down the road. But I was fine with that. Did I do that for my wedding? No.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And each,
you know what I mean?
And each event, 100%, each event, and people hold different value as well. I think that's important. We have all sorts of clients. Some clients don't really care. They'll say to me, oh, you know, I'm not really fussed if I have a decal or if I have acrylic.
Yeah.
I just want her name on there.
Just want the name. Yeah.
I just want the name on there. And so I'll say to them, look, you know what? This is a cheaper option for you. I would recommend this then if you don't really care. But if you want it to be more 3D or if you want it to, and I give them what is best suited to their budget, best suited to the type of, like the type of event they've got. You know, a client said to me the other day, I'm picking and choosing between this venue and this venue. And I said, okay, I have no obligation to either of these venues.
Yes.
But if you're asking me from a styling perspective for the fact that you want photography at this event, I would recommend this one. It's got better lighting.
Right.
Now, she hasn't even booked me yet.
Right.
Like there's no, we have not even got to the point where an invoice is being generated. We're just having discussion.
Just chatting.
We're just having a discussion about her event and what she wants, because I think that that's so important before you get to even that stage. You have to build a trust with your client.
Building that rapport.
You know, and it's not just about, okay, I've got your invoice and then you won't hear from me until your event. Some clients message me. Like once we get to invoice stage, clients are messaging me on my personal phone and we're chatting about, will this fit here? Will this, do you think this color or this color? Where do you think I should get this from? And sometimes they're just, you know, they're just picking my brain and that's fine, but that's all time and that's time away from my business. But for me, that's important because that is, again, trust. That is, again, our point of difference. That's for us, the service that we're delivering. And it's all about service delivery in this business. I think if you are just, for the most part, our business is a product-based business. But we've taken, we've chosen to take it as a service.
Yeah. Because you've got the hire and the
style. We do. Yeah, we do have two elements of it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to figure out as a business, where are you? Where do you want to be on the scale? Do you want to be more service orientated or do you want to be more product? And there's no right or wrong answer, but this is the way we've chosen.
What are your thoughts on, because there are some businesses that are out there, some companies that they do styling, they've got prop hire, they do balloons, they do flowers. Some even do invites now on top of that. They kind of do everything.
Everything.
And it's a one-stop shop. What are your thoughts on that?
It's very interesting because for a long time we didn't offer flowers. Then we got a lot of, I guess, inquiries about it. Could
the
you
fake
add
flowers?
Yeah,
right?
Could you add fake flowers to my order? And for a long time I was like, well, I'm not a florist, like I could try my hand at it, I'm creative, I could see if I could do something, or I'd outsource them from someone. And then I sort of realized that some things work in line with your business, some things are, you're dipping your fingers in too many pies.
Yes,
I don't know if that's the right analogy, but I feel like it's important to stay in your lane. It's very important to stay in your lane. Like we've considered, I've actually considered, you know, getting a decal machine and doing all that in-house because the amount of decals we do a week. But I've developed business relationship with 4 to 5 different people who do decals. And I outsource that. And one, that gives me sanity, outsourcing it. And two, you're getting a different take on it. So I think it's really important to kind of pick someone else's brain, and they might give you a concept that you didn't think about. We can't be so full of ourselves and think that we can do everything and that we're great and we're excellent at everything. And I'm not attacking anyone that does do that, because if it works for you, go you.
Yes.
I'm so proud of you. If you can do it and do it well,
yes,
go for it. I just find that it's really hard, and I don't think I can.
Yeah.
Perhaps if I had more staff, and perhaps in the future, it could be something that we could pursue. I'm not saying it's not possible.
But for you to do it personally.
For me to do it personally in-house, not happening.
Yeah.
And I like the friendships I formed with vendors.
Yeah.
You know, I like that we work with other people and that they add something to us, and that, you know, when we post that job or that event, you know, it's there's nice. Like 6-7 people that were involved in. This is a team
effort.
A team. And you know what? One person doesn't get credit. This team gets it. Mm. And it kind of like, whether you did most of the work or not, that becomes irrelevant. It's like when someone says to me when we're done a job, oh my God, that was amazing, it's incredible, we always say to them, it was a team.
Yeah.
It was a team effort. Our team at Lux Couture Events. So this becomes the person who did the decals, the florist, whoever else that was involved, the balloonist, any of our team members will get credit for that, because they very much brought this event to life. And I think going back to, you know, the original point of this, I think you can do it all if you choose to.
Yeah.
You might go a little bat crazy.
Yeah.
I think some people can pull it off.
Yes.
Not everybody can. And I would suggest try to focus on 1, 2, 3 elements of your business and make them strong.
Master it.
Exactly. Because I think it's so important to not let things slip. On a week where we have more events, we tend to, you know, it tends to be a lot more stressful. Mm-hmm. So rather than do it all ourselves, we hire more staff. Because if we do it all ourselves, we'll drop a ball.
Yes.
We're only human.
Yeah.
We make mistakes. And so rather than drop that ball, we've already pre-thought it and gone, okay, 2 extra staff are coming on board this weekend. Mm-hmm. We've got one of our biggest weeks coming up next week. I'm getting another two staff on top of our staff to come on board, because I just don't want to risk anything going wrong for any client.
Yeah.
And we can't be in 2 places at once, you know?
You can't do it all. It's even like raising children. You can't do it all.
No.
You can't be cooking, cleaning, feeding.
It's a community.
Yeah.
It's a community that raises children. And I think there's a community in this business. And without the support of the vendors that we work with, we wouldn't be, because they send us clients and we send them clients.
And not just that, business is very lonely if it's just you.
Extremely.
You know, like, to not talk to people, to go from corporate world, as you know, you and I both did.
Yeah.
You're in a big building, talking to people, go get a coffee, bump into a friend, going to meetings, calling people, and then you go to you.
Yeah.
And social media and emails and calling clients, planning events,
and your mind gets blown.
And that's it. And, you know, at times you're peeping over the fence, looking at what everyone else is doing. And
it happens. And whoever says they don't do that is lying, because it's part of our competitive nature. It's part of our competitive 100%. Nature.
And you have to. And a competitor analysis is important. You've got to, you know, analyze your competitors. What are they doing? Oh, damn, that's good. Like, okay, now how can I do that better? So
how can I improve my business?
Yeah, don't compare yourself as such or want to be like them, but how can you get to a higher level?
I don't think it's about doing it better. I think it's like, how can I do it so it
my
fits
way. Yeah, my
with
way.
Me? Or how can I do it so that it works better for the client?
Yes.
Like, I'm not about, like, I can get more props than you. This is not playground.
You'll never win doing that. We're not, because the cost of props.
Yes, so bloody expensive. It's real. It's insane.
Home loan just for your props.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And then you need to house them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's about trying to make sure that you have that, you know, just knowing where can I improve this?
Yeah.
How can I make this better?
Yeah.
So.
But still aligned to your values and who you are. Oh, 100%. And what your business is.
And people lose themselves in business.
Yeah.
You know, the nasty side comes out of people.
Because they try and be something they're not.
And I think, I've been very lucky that I'd like to think that after, you know, so many years in business that I feel like I'm still grounded.
Mm.
And I'm thankful for my family for that, because they give it to me straight.
Yeah.
Keep me still on the ground level. And you need that, because it doesn't matter how many people you have on social media following you. It matters that, one, are you supporting your family?
Mm-hmm.
And that's number one, because you don't stay in this business if you can't support your family. No matter how much you love it, it needs to be helping you support your family.
Yes.
And if it's not, there's something really wrong with the way you're doing business. So I think it's really, really important to just try and stay focused on that and to keep motivated. It's really hard to stay motivated, given that there are so many people in this business nowadays. And it's insane how many people are popping up every week. New businesses, all sorts of businesses coming up every day that do something. You know, I planned my daughter's first birthday. Oh, I think I want to do styling and prop hire.
Yeah. It's a common way it in, looks isn't
easy.
It?
It looks does. Easy.
But that doing, you know, making invites, cutting decals, putting a prop there and this, it looks easy. And sometimes it is, if it is a simple setup. But the business side, that is not
really
easy.
Hard. Yeah.
It is hard.
It's really hard keeping track of invoices, keeping track of what's going to which client, making sure something's not double booked.
Right.
We can get excited and we can double book props.
Yeah.
If you are not organized, it will happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying it hasn't happened. It's happened to us.
Mm.
But we've been very lucky. We've forged really, really good relationships with other vendors. So if we have on the one-off done it.
You can lean on them.
We can lean on them. Of course. But, I mean, again, we've implemented a process where that doesn't happen anymore. Mm. You know, like our invoicing system will tell us if something is going out on that weekend. So before we book you, we're checking, is this item going to anyone, before we even have that like discussion,
right?
Because if this is a custom item, mm-hmm. which a lot of our props are, some things aren't, like we have a lot of things that are the same as other businesses, because unfortunately in this business that's the way it is.
That's it. Yeah,
but there are some custom props that we can't get replicated.
Yeah,
you know. So going on to that, like, I think it's really important to be different as well.
Mm.
And unfortunately in this business, customers want what they saw last week.
Yes. Yeah.
Majority.
A lot.
Majority of customers.
Yeah.
There's very few that come to me and say, I want something different.
Different. Yeah.
And if you want something different, be prepared to put the dollar figure to that, mm-hmm. is what I say. Not, I don't say it like that. I just say, look, you know, be prepared. This is custom. It may cost you more than perhaps a simpler, you know, scaled back version. So if you're getting custom print on a wall that's 2 meters long, be prepared that's going to cost more than a standard wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we do for customers. We do outsource and we will shop around for a quote for them. You know, if we have two or three vendors that do that custom print, we will check each one and get a quote from each one, because it's in our best interest that our client goes ahead,
mm-hmm.
and it's in our best interest that we give the client the best possible price,
mm-hmm.
so they can afford it. I don't rip people off.
Yeah. No, you know? I know you don't.
We don't and we can't. It's not good business practice.
It's not. And they won't come back, because when, you know, they see that they could have got it down the road.
But whether they come back or not, you know, it's like, are they going to be happy with the service post-event?
Yeah.
Like, I do not want a client to feel dissatisfied.
Mm.
You know, if we've gotten to the point where your event's coming up and you're feeling dissatisfied, I'm taking that personal.
Yeah.
Because it means I failed you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I could sit here and talk to you all day, but where can our listeners find you? I know a lot will know who you are and where you're at already, but you're majority on Instagram, Facebook. I know your website's coming up live.
Our website is coming up. I think our website is 1 month away, so we're really excited. We're based in Craigieburn. We have a warehouse showroom up there. For those who don't know, it's northwest of Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
We do have Instagram, emails, our best contact. Mm-hmm. We do take calls. Our number's on our Instagram. Mm-hmm. I had it removed for a little while, but I put it back on there because I feel like it's so important for people to connect with someone on a phone.
Yes.
So our phone number's on there. If you need to text, call, just be respective of time.
Yes.
Because we do have a family, and I think after 7 is probably a decent time to not be texting. Yeah. But yeah, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we are on email, we've got our website coming up, really excited things coming this year, doing a lot more custom stuff, but we will be on SocioGo.
Yes.
So we're hoping to see you there.
Amazing. And thanks, Fifi, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. You've always got insight and knowledge, and there's a lot to learn. If you would like to reach out to Fifi, I will leave her details in the notes of this episode. And thanks for listening.
Bye for now.
Catch you next time on SocioGo Podcast. Please don't forget to favorite us on Spotify so you receive weekly updates for every episode that we release on the SocioGo Podcast.